All right, turn with me to Matthew 6. This morning I want to share just go on from some of the things we discussed in our week of prayer between Christmas and New Year. One of the things that we discussed was how do we lay up treasures? And the title of the message this morning is God's Treasure. God's treasure. And first of all, we are God's treasure. We're His special possession, each one of us that have given our life to Christ. We're bought with a price through His Son Jesus, and through that we are redeemed and we're set free. So may this message just challenge us together this morning of the pursuit in the heart, our hearts. What are we pursuing? Are we pursuing the heart of God? And if not, may God correct that this morning in each one of us. And I'm with you. I'm realizing that the ultimate purpose for life, we heard this morning how short it can be. The ultimate purpose for life is knowing God and allowing Him to invest His purposes in and through us for His glory. And I think as I studied this, I was just reminded of my own life. And so I'll share with you what God spoke to me through this. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. We're going to start there. And then we'll go on to some of Mark and then go into Luke 12. Ultimately, my goal is to end up in Matthew 25, where it speaks about the talents. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." And He says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And so Jesus is basically asking the question in this parable. He's saying, where is your treasure? Where is your heart? Where's your treasure? That's the question that we want to ask ourselves throughout our time this morning. Treasure, the definition of treasure is an abundance stored up for future use. Now, we all have to answer the question, what is that treasure? What is it for? And who is it for? You know what? Let's go to Luke 12 now. Just get a little bit of a backdrop here. Luke 12, 13 to 21. Here's a story of a man that came to Jesus. And in one way, he laid out a challenge because there was an issue apparently in their family. In verse 13, he says, "And one of the company, one of the crowd, said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him," Jesus said, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness." I looked at this as I was studying. I was like, here is the key to the lock. May it be the touchstone of our heart. "For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And he says, So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So here we, in this story, we see a man that thought he was being treated unfairly. And Jesus was warning him of covetousness, the desire for what he was asking for. And he gave the warning. But it's interesting, he said, "For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." In other words, he's saying, it's not wrong what you want to have, but it's wrong in the approach, in the attitude toward it. Does that make sense? I have seen wealthy men that can serve the Lord with their whole heart and love the Lord their God better than ones that are without clothes. So keep that in mind as we go on. There, it's not in the abundance or lack of abundance that we have. It's more in our heart that Jesus' concern is here with this story. But I will say, there is wealth. When there's wealth, there's also, it requires accountability. I'm realizing that more and more as I look into the things that Jesus says and the things that he's asking us to do as his children. There needs to be some type of accountability upon the wealth, that the possessions, the resources that you have in your hands. There needs to be some type of accountability for that. And that can be just simply a brother sharing with a brother and saying, you know what, I have this in my possession. How would you advise me to move forward in this? Accountability, walking with each other and helping each other along the path, the journey of life. So here you notice, I couldn't help but notice this, but in 17 and 18 and 19, I think there's 6 or 7 times he uses the word I, my. And it gives you a reflection of a selfish man. I, my, me. And to clinch it, he says, "Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." So you get the idea that this man is laying up for himself. And really, at the end of the day, that's wood, hay, and stubble. There is no value in laying up for ourselves. Honestly, this morning, there's no value. What we have, the relationships that we form in life, and what we have here together, this is the most precious thing upon the face of the earth. Having each other is the most precious thing that we will ever be able to take with us. So the question is, what is the mindset all about here? You don't have to turn there. Mark 12. And Jesus answered him, the first commandment, O Israel, is to love the Lord your God. And he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all of thy mind, and with all of thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And so we're dealing with a mindset this morning, loving the Lord with our mind. This man in this story was making a choice. He was making a choice for himself. And each of us has the same choice to make. This is years later, we are still faced with the same choices in our own life. Isn't that amazing? God just doesn't change. And when you look at the simplicity of walking with God, we deal with the same things that they dealt with back then. It's just in a different setting. I discovered this week, it is said that we have an average of 60,000 thoughts a day. This is an average. Our minds send more messages, whether to our body or to other people, than all the cell phones put together in a day. Just think about it. Some of you are blinking. Some of you are looking. Some of you are looking down. Some of you are looking at me. All of your your body is sending messages by the hundreds at this moment. You know, your fingers, your hearing, your seeing, it's telling you something. Think about all the messages. Isn't it important to love the Lord our God with our mind, our thoughts, and to give him that opportunity? And also, for those 60,000 thoughts, there's a large portion, a bigger percentage of them that are repetitive. So now we understand why it's important to renew our minds. So when you think about something, when you're about to go into something and you think about it, it takes you back maybe to a memory before, and you say, I'm not going to do that. Why? Maybe fear. Maybe wisdom. Maybe not. But you have these repetitive thoughts. Maybe I struggle with comparison. And then I'm always, that repetitive thought is continuously, well, what's he going to think? What's she going to think? What if I do this? What will happen then? And you may be repeating these thoughts every time you want to make a decision. And so, love the Lord your God with your mind so he can renew our minds daily. Is that why we take every thought captive? Another question is, how are our values, the values that we have, influencing our mind, or vice versa? What a person values most is where his heart is, so our heart demonstrates what we value. What you value is what you give your time to, your attention, you give your focus, you give your actions, you give your energy, your strength. It's starting to tie together what Jesus was saying there with the commandments. And just a reminder, especially to us in this day and age, we can waste a lot of time on nothing. And how does that happen? Things of no value. Using our time and wasting it is foolish. Just to be point blank honest, it is unreasonable to the Lord and it's foolish. Because one day, when we give an account for our life, that will be one of the things we give an account for. We are here for a purpose. We are here to set our face like a flint and not take our focus off the target. If we don't, we give an account for that. And I'm reminding myself this morning, I don't think we have any idea the potential in each one of us when we would take the time that we have and invest it and ask God and his Holy Spirit to lead us and to direct each day of our life and to direct each hour of our life. So many missed opportunities. Again, we have 60,000 thoughts. What are those thoughts? What are they thinking? If we have 60,000 thoughts a day on the average, what potentially could we be praying for? Just think about it. How about 60,000 thoughts with the thoughts of God, with his thought? What could potentially happen? I don't know. I'm really challenged with this. So in Matthew 6, what we read before, the Pharisees valued men's approval and money above what God wanted. What we love most will influence how we live. So when we love the Lord with all our heart and our mind and our soul, we'll be content. We'll be at peace. We will just be content, and our strength will be channeled through that, through accomplishing his purposes. So wealth accumulation. I'm going to move quickly through this. Wealth accumulation. What do we think about when we think about money? Is this talking about money? I think it actually alludes to it. So we have to be honest. It is in one sense talking about money. It's using money. But ultimately, it's the heart that Jesus is concerned about. Is Jesus saying that earthly money or resources is bad to have? No, he's not. I don't see him saying that. He's saying, be careful what your heart treasures. You know, I think back to Joseph and how God gave him the vision to store up. So I don't think there's anything wrong with storing up. But what is that treasure that you're taking and storing up? Is it for a purpose? Is it for and the biggest thing that I saw as I studied this is, what are you seeking after? The word seek, S-E-E-K. What are you seeking? A seeking is a pursuit after something. What are you seeking in life? So that's the concern. What are you seeking for? What are your sights on? Let's go on there in Luke 12, just continuing on there in 22. And we'll go right up to 24. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. This is the we live life, but this is the mentality he's saying we need to live under. The life is more than meat or food, and the body is more than raiment or clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? He's specifically talking about worry there. We can't think that we can add to our height or add to whatever. It just won't help. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is a day in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? He says, O ye of little faith. And look at this. He says, and seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father that ye have... Your Father knoweth that ye have need of things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, and treasure in heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, and neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In verse, so you see in 29, 30, he gives a warning about seeking after the wrong things. 31, he gives a solution. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I feel like that is the heart here. I really do. But may we take some of these thoughts captive that cause us to be doubtful at times. The things that take faith away, faith in God. May God clean even those thoughts from our minds, even if there's just 1,000, right, a day, of those little thoughts of doubt that maybe we just, Lord, I just really want to trust you, but I just can't hardly. I really am worrying about this situation. I'm really worrying where things are going to come from for tomorrow. Seek the kingdom. And he says, all those things will be added unto us. He's talking about food. He's talking about clothing. He's making the illustration of between us and the birds that he'll feed us. He talks about the flowers, how he takes care of them. Then he gives a warning about not seeking after the wrong things or worrying what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink. And he says, don't be doubtful. I have you. I have you. I'll take care of you. Then in verse 33, he says, sell what you have. What does this mean? What does it mean to sell what we have? How do we just sell what we have? I looked into this a little bit. Look what it says after that. Sell what you have and give alms. Basically, share with others. And so in this story, you see it's not so much what we have or don't have, but it's the attitude behind what we don't have or have. Does that make sense? And his challenge is that we don't seek after things that we worry, because when we worry, they become a treasure. They just automatically become a treasure. Because your pursuit is after them till you have them and till you get them. You know, really at the end of the day, it's sad but true, but we will get what we want. Whatever cost, we ultimately get what we want if our seeking is toward the wrong things. So he says, sell what you have and share. So my question going on here is, what are we doing with the things that we already have? The resources, the gifts God gave us, what will we do with those? Let's go to Matthew 25 now. What will we do with the resources that we already have? We're going to go from 14 to 30, I think it is. And here's a story of the talents. There were three stewards, three servants. And I just want to bring a few things out that I saw in here that may help us answer this question. What are we doing with the resources that we have? So let's just read the story and then I'll come back around. Matthew 25, 14 to 30. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to the other 2, and to the other 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that receiveth 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. I didn't see that before. Reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. we may go on there, but just want to circle around here. So the talents, we could say, he alluded to money. We can look at them as resources. And again, as we go through this story, what has God done for you? Think about this. What has God done in your life? What resources and riches in the heavenly riches has he given you sitting here today? And the question as we look at this story is, what are you doing with them? And then you also look at the physical resources that you have. It's two-part. What are you doing with those for the glory of God? So we have in verse 14, we see the owner, the boss, the one in charge. He called his own servants, and he gave them his goods. Now here's a man that picked out three servants, and probably three out of many possibly, and he gave them his goods, and he trusted them to do something with him while he took his long journey. And typically, I think back in those times, it was you traded, you didn't necessarily use money all the time. You traded animals for animal, animal for animals, whatever, or some type of clothing or goods, whatever it may be. And I know today it's more our money has become a little bit more readily available, so we use a lot of money instead of trading and bartering time and so forth. But money has basically become an instrument of commerce for us, so we basically use that every day. You know, I don't find myself delivering goods to the hardware store, to the grocery store, giving him a sack of corn for lettuce or whatever it may be. But that was typically what a lot of them did. And maybe someday it'll get to that. I don't know. Only God knows that. But I did want to say this too, is money is a tool. It's to reveal where our hearts are. It can actually be a test. It can be a test of our character. It reveals our character. Or what we're talking about today, it can be a testimony. It can really be a testimony of what we believe about God. Because ultimately the money is all his, right? So God has a plan for us, and he expects our finances to be consistent with his character and our life. So going on, we have the owner here in verse 14. And this guy has high expectations. You look what he expects of his servants, his stewards. He's expecting an increase. And I didn't necessarily notice that before, but down in 24 it says he was a hard man. So he had high expectations. There was no messing around, according to verse 30, where he said, cast this guy out into outer darkness. And so Jesus is giving us this parable, this story, saying how serious it is to be accountable to God with our resources and the things that he's doing for us. So let's just go on through here. So here's the owner leaving. He gave five talents to the one. That guy doubled it. And he recognized the gifts in each of these stewards. He gave the one five, steward one, he gave five, and he trusted him that he'll do something with this. Well, the guy doubled it. He got 10 out of that. And the next one, he saw his gifting, so he gave him two. I'm in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what can God entrust me with? Can he entrust me that when he gives me something, whatever it may be, something that I'm asking for, and he gives it. We heard Lydia express how God blessed her with his Holy Spirit. What will I do with that? How will I utilize that. So he gave the second one two. He doubled it. The third steward, or the servant, he gave one. And he came up empty. He didn't make anything. He went and he digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now I want us to jump forward and find out why he did that. Let's go to verse 25 and look at the first four words. Somebody said, I was afraid. How many times do we say, I don't have the courage to do that? I don't have the courage to tell this person about Christ because I'm afraid. I don't have the courage to believe God for tomorrow morning that he's going to have provisions there. I don't have the courage to make a decision on this because what if? When I say what if, I'm basically saying, I'm afraid. What if? What if it doesn't work out? What if God don't move? I don't necessarily want to pray for this person because what if God doesn't hear me? I'm afraid. This was a very real fear to him. He was protecting his Lord's money, and he digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So we look at plan A. Plan A is in verse 27. He said, the owner said to him, he said, thou oughtest, therefore, you should have at least put the money in the bank. You should have at least put it somewhere in someone else's hands. And I could have got, at the least, I could have got some interest off of it. At the least. Just a couple percent. But because of that choice that you made, I'm going to cast you out. You're unprofitable. You're an unprofitable servant. And then in 27, we see plan A. 28, we see plan B. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which has 10 talents. What is he doing? He's giving it to someone that is responsible for the talent, for the resource. And he's saying, at the least, give it to someone who can do something with it. Do we ever feel incapable or physically limited when God asks us to do something? And we just say, you know, I can't see myself doing this. I'm sorry, I just can't see myself doing it. Brother, would you come and take this? Or would you come and help me? He didn't do that. He didn't ask for help. He went and hid it, and it became totally useless. So he said, you could have at least given it to the one that could do something with it. Again, he wanted an increase. So here God is the owner. He has a plan for us, for his resources. But ultimately, we choose. He wants more disciples. He wants more souls. He wants an increase of his kingdom. So steward one and two, they went out by faith. And I tell you, every time, we just can't, you can't get by this. When you put a plan in place, okay, they had a plan, right? I'm sure there was obstacles. There was obstacles that they were facing, possibly. That was a long time for their master to be away, their Lord to be away. But there was definitely obstacles in that time to make double what they were given. So they doubled their size, the size of what he gave them. And every time there's a plan in place, there are obstacles and there are always limitations. There's changes. You can't get away from. There's interruptions. A plan, when we put a plan in place, be ready. There will be obstacles to face and there will be interruptions. But that's not the point. We believe God anyway. We believe Him anyway. Because He wants to refine us and make us more and more into His image. So if we can't steward what was given, at least we could give it to someone else. Or get someone to come up beside us, that there can be an increase for His kingdom. Makes me think of the where it talks about the members. We are members one of another. And whatever one member doesn't have, the other one supplies that in the body of Christ. So again, what resources do we have physically and spiritually? The resources you have, are you using them? Are you afraid? Can you find opportunities to share what God has given you? If not, can you give them or share them with someone else who can? So plan A was he wants you to do it. That's always the first part. He wants us to do it. And the next step in 28 is give it to someone else so they can increase it. And the three words, as we're wrapping it up here, the three words that I saw in this is, and that it was startling when I thought of these three, is how are we doing as people and how are we doing as a church? Are we encouraging this to store up treasure? But in this story, the three words that came to me was go, send, or disobey. That's what I see in this story. He's telling them, go, take care of this. What I've given you, take care of this. Send. Do something with it. Do something with your resources. Do something with the riches God has given us. I think Mel challenged us last weekend is, it's time to move. It's time to get it done. And I don't know what that means for each of us. And I'm not here saying that we try to drum up some false faith. But more, what are we? First of all, are we loving the Lord with our mind, with our heart, with our soul, with our strength? Then we can align ourselves with God and go and send. Do we treasure what God treasures us? Do we treasure what God treasures? So again, the quote I had said earlier is, knowing God, investing in His purposes should be the treasure that we seek. Aligning ourselves with God's heart and purpose for our lives. I know some of us, probably all of us, understand what an alignment is in a car or a truck. The alignment is to line the front wheels up that they're not like this or like this or like this or like this. They run straight. And then when you drive that car or that truck, it'll stay right there. You can take your hands off the wheel for a while if you want. Just be careful. But you can. It'll stay right there. But when the alignment is off, you let go. Whatever way that wheel is cocked, it'll drift over. So as we think about aligning ourselves with God, what is hindering our thoughts to stray? Our alignment may be off. What does it take to correct that alignment? We have to get before God and His Holy Spirit. If it takes repentance, if it takes asking God to continue to help us with this besetting thing. There's a cross. I love that one thing we put up on the board over the dedication service was to magnify the blood. The blood of Jesus is enough to take care of this. The blood of Jesus Christ will bring alignment into that again. Then your wheels, you can let God drive. He'll drive for you. He'll show you how to manage your resources. He'll provide the food you need. He'll provide the clothing you need. He'll provide everything for life and godliness. And he'll even provide all the spiritual things you need. But my question this morning is, are we aligned with God's will and his heart? Let's align ourselves, even with our resources and the treasure God has given us. Why? So we can store up treasure in heaven. Let our treasure be in heaven. Did want to mention this in closing is my desire is that Christ would be lifted up in our lives, would be lifted up as we continue to journey together. May he be exalted as we align ourselves with him. And again, God will align that for you. You don't have to do it yourself. All you need to do is get before God and say, I need help. I need your grace in this thing that I'm struggling with. Because it's taking me out of alignment. It's taking me off course. You know, it's like Seth would understand the flight patterns. If you're 1 degree off and you're traveling 1,000 miles or so, you're 1 degree off. That 1 degree will throw you off course by miles and miles when you get to the other end. We may be sitting here thinking today that this isn't so bad. I think it'll be all right. I can get away with this. But by the time you know, maybe you're 15, maybe you're 20, by the time you reach your 30s, 40s, and 50s, you will see, unless you change course, you will see that that alteration took you pretty far off course. Let's build up treasure early. And there's no better time to start than today. Let's pray.